Your Bibles tonight, 1 Samuel chapter number 5. Working our way through the characters of the Old Testament. Tonight is not just a single character, but a group of characters. Tonight's message is titled, The Foolish Philistines. The Foolish Philistines. And before I read this passage of Scripture, I'm going to give you a vocabulary list. How many of you remember vocabulary lists from school? Well, it's very important that you know the vocabulary that we're going to see here. And first of all, I want you to there's a group of names. The nations of the Philistines, you have Ashdod. And sometimes, how many of you ever read a name of the Bible and you don't know if that's a person, place, thing? You don't have any clue what it is, but I'm telling you. Ashdod is one of the nations of Philistia. There's five of them. Ashdod. The other is Gaza. A third is Ashkelon. A fourth is Gath. And a fifth is Ekron. So when you see these names, Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron, those five names are places. They're all five parts of Philistia, and each one of those parts has a lord, like a mayor. Another name that you're going to need to know and identify is Dagon. Dagon. Now, Dagon is a god. He is the god of the Philistines. He's a false god. He was an idol. Every picture I've seen of Dagon is some strong man with a fish's tail for his legs, and his hands are out, the big head. And at any rate, Dagon is the false god of the Philistines. The third, the last word that I want you to know, and I don't want to be crude, but it's important that you know the definition, is an emerod. When we see the word emerod in the Scripture, that is it's literally a hemorrhoid. It's a swollen problem. And so when we get to this passage of Scripture and read through it, I want you to know what you're seeing, and I won't have to do a whole lot of explaining, but I think this will make sense. And it's fascinating what God does. And we're going to learn something about the foolish Philistines. We begin our reading in chapter 5, verse number 1. I'm going to read through chapter 6 and the 13th verse, and I think you'll find the story very interesting. Let me give you the lead up story to where we're going. Eli's the priest. He has failed raising his children, Hophni and Phinehas. He's failed raising his children, and God has said he's going to judge Eli because he's done such a poor job as the priest over the temple of God. And so the Philistines come and wage war against the Israelites. The Israelites, because of their faithlessness and turning from God, are defeated in a great slaughter. And the Israelites, in one last attempt to include God, they carry the Ark of the Covenant to the battlefield, where they are handedly defeated by the Philistines. So the Philistines, very wrong, but the Philistines believed that somehow their God had defeated Jehovah God, which is never true. And they take the Ark of the Covenant, and they carry the Ark of the Covenant into their own cities and towns, and they suffer the consequences. They've won the battle against the Israelites. They've taken the ark into their town, and here's what happens. The Bible says, and the Philistines took the ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and he destroyed them and smote them with emerods even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, "The ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God." They sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the ark of the God of Israel be carried about unto Gath." They moved it from one city of the Philistines to another city of the Philistines. And they carried the ark of the God of Israel about thither. Verse number 9. And it was so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And he smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. Therefore they sent the ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass as the ark of God came to Ekron that the Ekronites cried out, saying, "They have brought about the ark of the God of Israel to us to slay us and our people." So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, "Send away the ark of the God of Israel and let it go again to his own place, that it slay us not and our people." For there was a deadly destruction throughout all the city. The hand of God was very heavy there. And the men that died not were smitten with the emerods, and the cry of the city went to heaven. And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priest and the diviner, saying, "What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." And they said, "If ye send away the ark of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering which we shall return to him?" They answered, 5 golden emerods and 5 golden mice, according to the number of the lords of the Philistines, for one plague was on you all and on your lords. Wherefore ye shall make images of your emerods and images of your mice that mar the land, and ye shall give glory unto the God of Israel. Peradventure he will lighten his hand from off you and from off your gods and from off your land. Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians? And Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them. Did they not let the people go? And they departed. Now therefore, make a new cart, and take 2 milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the cart, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold, which ye return him for a trespass offering, in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see, if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beth Shemesh, then he hath done us this great evil. But if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. And the men did so, and took 2 milk kine, and tied them to the cart, and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart, and the coffer with the mice of gold, and the images of their emerods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. And they of Beth Shemesh were reaping their wheat harvest in the valley. And they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. And the cart came into the field of Joshua and Beth Shemite, and stood there where there was a great stone. And they clave the wood of the cart and offered the kine a burnt offering unto the Lord. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord and the coffer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone. And the men of Beth Shemesh offered burnt offerings and sacrificed sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the 5 lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned to Ekron the same day. And what an interesting story. And there's lots of twists and turns. As a matter of fact, when I look at these 2 chapters of God's Word, and I think about these foolish Philistines, I mean, it is a fiasco that is going on in these couple chapters of Scripture. Just a total fiasco. And I'll just let you know something. Rebelling against Creator God of the universe always produces a fiasco and some foolish things. And we see here in this passage of Scripture the foolish Philistines. The first thing the Philistines did wrong, we didn't read this portion of Scripture, was they waged war against God and God's people. Folks, I want you to know something. It is always wrong to wage war against God. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's just wrong. Yet, we say to ourselves, I'm not going to wage war against God, or I'm not going to wage war against the church. I'm not going to wage war against the preacher. Yet, we wage war against God by choosing our own way, choosing our own path, rejecting and disobeying the clear teachings of God's word, living for the flesh. And these foolish Philistines, they messed up beginning by trying to somehow conquer God and God's people. You cannot do it. But then it continues. They believe that somehow their God was greater than Jehovah God, which is never true. And so they take the Ark of the Covenant into their own land, and thus begins the story of the foolish Philistines. The foolish Philistines. I want to make five simple points tonight, and I want to help you with this passage of Scripture and this story. Number one, do not be deceived by the superficial victories of the enemy. Do not be deceived by the superficial victories of the enemy. The Bible says in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer unto Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Now look, when you read this, we know in the previous chapter that there was a great slaughter, and the Philistines, the enemies of God, actually defeated the armies of the nation of God. But I want to encourage you about this. Do not be deceived by the superficial victories of the enemy. Look, the Philistines won the battle, but they were going to ultimately lose the war. Now, it's easy as a young person, it's easy as an adult to choose the way of the world, to choose the way of the flesh, to choose the way of the enemy, to do the wrong thing, to rebel against your God, rebel against your authorities, rebel against the truth of God's word, and appear that you have some type of victory. But do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Folks, I want you to know something. If you rebel against God, you will reap what you sow, and any apparent victory is just not true. It's not true. Now, if you think that you're getting by with sin, you're not. Do not be deceived like the foolish Philistines into believing that somehow you fooled God. You see, you rebel against God, you will reap the consequences. And we need God's help. We should not rebel against our loving Father. Why? Because our loving Father wants what's best for us. We should submit ourselves to His will and His way, understanding that He has a perfect plan. So in your own personal life, do not be deceived by the appearance of victory, because those victories are temporary and superficial when you have acted in rebellion to God. Also, be encouraged by this. You say, I'm trying my best. I'm trying to please the Lord. I'm trying to make the right decisions. I'm trying to do what's right. I'm trying to live a principled life. But it seems like folks around me who are rebelling against God, they're the ones that's having the most fun. Those are the ones that are seemingly having the most success. I'll have you know something that is not true. It may appear that way, but it won't last. It won't last for long. And the end of sin is always destruction. The end of sin hurts. And the Philistines in this passage of Scripture would testify to the fact that they wrought a great victory against Israel, but they wished that they never had. And it appeared that they won the battle, and it appeared that they were on the winning side, but they never were. And the testimony of the Philistines would come. We carried the Ark of the Covenant into the house of Dagon, our God, and we thought that our God had defeated their God, but we were wrong. And don't be deceived. Do not be deceived. Right will prevail. The Word of God will always stand the test of time. And submission to the Word of God and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will always prove to give you ultimate and perfect satisfaction and victory. That's what God does. The Philistines, they were foolish. They never won anything. They only brought on themselves great trouble. Number one, do not be deceived by the superficial victories of the enemy. Number two, remember, there is only one true God. You see what happens next in this passage of Scripture? The Bible says in verse number three, they've taken the Ark of the Covenant into the house of Dagon, their God. And in verse number three, the Bible says, and when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. What happened? I don't know exactly what the house of Dagon looked like, but these folks, the Philistines, pagans, had set up a house, an idol room, where the idol of Dagon sat. I don't know if he was over there, he's over there, but at any rate, they had this idol, this statue of Dagon. It looked like some man with a fish's tail. You had him standing up, and the ones I've seen, his hands are outstretched, the big hat on his head. He's an ugly looking fella. But in the house of Dagon, this idol that they worshipped and bowed to, they said, well, the only place to put the Ark of the Covenant that represents the God of Israel is in the house of Dagon, and Dagon has defeated Jehovah God. Not. They put the Ark of Covenant in that house. They come back the next morning, and guess where Dagon is? Dagon is bowed on his face in front of the Ark of the Covenant. Folks, I want you to know something. All the gods of the world, all the little gods will bow and must bow at the feet of Jehovah God. As a matter of fact, they can't bow. Who put Dagon before God? God moved Dagon because Dagon's dead. Dagon is no God at all. Dagon has no power. We need to remember there's only one true God. They come in there, they're a little alarmed. What happened? Must have been the preacher's kid laid Dagon down or something. So they come in that day and they put Dagon back up. Here's what the Scripture says. I want you to see it. Verse number 4, after they put Dagon back in his place. When they arose early on the morrow morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any of that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. What happened the next day? They'd set him back in his place. The next day, they leave and come back. And not only was Dagon bowed before the Ark of the Covenant, but his hands were cut off and his head was cut off. And it was just his stump that was lying there. What was God saying? God was saying there's only one true God. There's only one true God. And God has authority over Dagon and all the world. Now, how does that apply to me? Are you an idolater? The initial answer is always no. But if we begin to think about it, anything that comes before God in our lives is an idol. You can make your children idols. You can make your job idols. You can make your bank accounts idols. You can make your health an idol. That's what I'm just kidding. I've not done that. You can make all kinds of things idols. Anything you put before God is an idol. And I want you to understand something. If God is not first in your life, then you've made a terrible mistake. The foolish Philistines, you know what they did? They thought that somehow Dagon was greater than Jehovah God, and that's always wrong. Folks, I want you to know something. Your education is not greater than God. Your understanding is not greater than God. Your occupation is not greater than God. Your grandchildren and children are not greater than God. There's only one God, and what He wants for your life must be first, and we must bow to God. And may we not follow the foolishness of these Philistines, and we remember that there is only one true God. Number three, it hurts to sin against God. It hurts to sin against God. You see, we think somehow that by doing our own thing and living our own lives and rebelling against God, we've set ourselves free. But that's so foolish. It's a mind game that Satan plays. You're not free when you're living in sin. You're free when you're submitting to the truth of God's Word. The Bible teaches us that the truth will make you free. And when we set ourselves submissive to the truth of God's Word, then we free ourselves up to have the blessing of God and the joy that only God can give. It hurts to sin against God. How did it hurt the men of the Philistines? The Bible says in verse 6, the hand of the Lord was heavy upon them of Ashdod, and He destroyed them and smote them with emerods, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the God of Israel shall not abide with us, for His hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. They said, we don't want the ark anymore. They said, move it somewhere else. And so they moved it to Gath, and they moved it to Ekron. The Bible says in verse 9 that it was carried to Gath, so that after they had carried it about, the hand of the Lord was against the city with a very great destruction. And He smote the men of the city, both small and great, and they had emerods in their secret parts. I mean, it hurt to serve the Lord. I mean, one city has the Ark of the Covenant, and they said, we don't want any more of that. Another city has the Ark of the Covenant. Hey, we've had all we can stand. They keep moving around to see if it's a coincidence, but I'll just have you know something. When you rebel against God, you can expect it to hurt. And it's not just a coincidence. It's not just happenstance. When you rebel against God, it hurts. That's why we're teaching our children, or attempting to. We're teaching our children that when you disobey, it hurts. Because it hurts when you disobey as a child, and it hurts more when you disobey as an adult. And it hurt the people, the Philistines, the foolish Philistines. It hurt them greatly to rebel against God. Just remember that. If you turn your back on God and live for this world and the flesh and the devil, it's going to hurt. And it hurt them deeply. It hurts to sin against God. Number four, rebelling against God causes you to do foolish and paranoid things. When I first read through this passage of Scripture fresh and anew, it kind of cracked me up to see what's going on here. So everybody's really sore. The ones that haven't died are really in a lot of pain. I mean, this is a rough time. And so everybody in desperation, they're like, what are we going to do? I want to remind you of this, that when you rebel against God, it causes you to do foolish and paranoid things. They thought, well, we'll move the ark from city to city. Maybe it's just a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. The hand of God was against these people. They said, well, what are we going to do to appease the God of Israel? Ha ha, I got it. I know what we can do. They were suffering with a disorder of emerods. It was awful. And they believed that mice had brought it in. Sent from heaven, sent from God. And see what they did? I know what to do. I know what will make everything better. Tell me if this is foolish and paranoid or not. They said, let's make golden emeralds. Do you hang them on a chain, or what do? Let's make golden emeralds. They made an image of an emerald. Five of them. One for every town of the Philistines. One for every lord of the Philistines. And then they made 5 golden mice. They said, I know what to do. This will make everything better. How foolish. How foolish. Do you know what we do? We live in sin. We turn our backs on God. We feel like somehow we've lost the blessing of God. And we do silly things. You know, we're paranoid. We're scared of our own shadow. The Bible says it like this. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We live in our flesh. We live for ourselves. We turn our backs against God. And you know what we do? We start getting scared of our own shadow and doing silly things. We think, well, maybe if I give a little something to the work of the Lord, that'll be fine. Maybe if I whisper a little prayer, that'll make it better. And we do things that don't make perfect sense because we've turned our backs against God. And that's exactly what the Philistines did. They said, maybe we can appease God with these golden emeralds and mice. How foolish. You can't please God with a chunk of gold. You can't please God with a heartless prayer. You can't please God until you've submitted yourself to His will and trusted yourself to His care. You can't please God until you've acted righteously and humbled yourself according to His will. The foolish Philistines, they rebelled against God. And rebelling against God caused you to do foolish and paranoid things. Their act of making gold idols did nothing to please God. Which leads me to the 5th point. Number 5, just remember this, God will prevail against the odds. So here's the last thing they do. I'm going to tell you the story. Here's the last thing they do. They take their 5 golden emeralds, they take their 5 golden mice, and they put it in some type of a coffer on a cart beside the Ark of the Covenant, and they say, let's send this ark on its way. And all the while, the Philistines are still kind of holding on to the fact that maybe there's nothing to this God of Israel thing. Maybe there's nothing to the Ark of the Covenant, the power of Jehovah God. And so let's just see if we can prove God. So you know what they do? They say, here's our plan, which is still foolish and paranoid, but God overcomes the odds. They take a cart, a kine-driven cart, kine is a cow, and they put on that cart the Ark of the Covenant and their little box, or big box, whatever it is, with their 10 idols, gold. And they tie to that cart 2 cows that have just had calves. Milk kine. And they say, we're going to tie these cattle, which have never had a yoke, to this cart. We're going to take their calf. We're going to put them in the barn. We're going to put the Ark of the Covenant on the cart. And we're just going to turn them loose. What happens at your house if you tie up a fresh cow, put her calf in the barn, and you tie her to a cart she's never been tied to? Well, what happens at your house? It's going to be a rodeo. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a rodeo all the way to the barn because God put in her nature. When that calf bawls, when her milk gets full, that she needs to go to that calf. God put it in her. But what happened? I mean, these guys, the Philistines, set the table for God to absolutely, completely, and totally fail. So you can just see it. Somebody's holding those 2 cows. The calves are bawling in the background. The cows are bawling in the foreground. They're turning and not liking that yoke that they've never felt before. And when those Philistines let them go, look what happens. Chapter number 6, verse number 10. And the men did so and took 2 milk kine and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mice of gold and the images of the emerods. And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, the place of God, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the lords of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh. I see that picture. Can you see it? Those cattle created by God. They took the straight way, straight from the land of the Philistines to Beth Shemesh, the place where the Ark of the Covenant belonged, and they just did exactly what God said, the lowing the whole time, the whole way there. And when I see this picture, it's unusual, is it not? What an unusual passage of Scripture. I love it. I love the Bible. When I see this, I'm reminded that God has the ability and the authority to prevail no matter the odds. And you know what that encourages me? It encourages me to humble myself and do things correctly and righteously so that I have the incredible, miraculous power of God pushing me along, pointing me in the right direction, paving the path of my life ahead of me. I'm encouraged because God can overcome the odds. I do not have to have all the answers. All I have to do is rest in the fact that God is almighty and submit my will to His will, and He will make things right and good and pure and whole, and He'll use my life for something that matters for eternity. And I'm encouraged that God, the God that I serve, has the ability to overcome any difficulty and any odd. But I'm also set back and reminded that to rebel against God is so foolish, because God can overcome any odd. And I must humble myself and submit myself to the perfect will of God. Folks, the Philistines, they were so foolish. But we don't have to be. Aren't you glad? We can rest in the truth and the Word of God, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and learn these few things. Do not be deceived by the superficial victories of the enemies. They really didn't win it anyway. Remember, there's only one true God. Remember, it hurts to sin against God. Remember, rebelling against God causes you to do foolish and paranoid things. And finally, God will prevail against the odds. May we learn from the foolish Philistines and not follow their example.